Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is Kuf Chof Dalid. We'll be starting from Kuf Chof Gimel Amid Beis, two lines before the wide lines, where the Gemara brings a Braisa. The focus of the Braisa is on the halacha that a Bechor is Noitel Pishnai. And as you know, and as we've learned numerous times, the Bechor is Noitel Pishnai B'muchsak Havaloi B'ro'ui. What means Muchsak? That means that when the Nifter passes away, and he leaves a Bechor and other boys as the Yorshim, then whatever is there in the estate at the moment of passing, Bechor is Noitel Pishnai. But anything which is Ro'oi, it wasn't there at the time, it only came in subsequently, then the Bechor does not get a double portion. How do I know that? Because it says in the Pasuk, Losis Loi Pishnayim Bechol Asher Yimotzei Loi. Yimotzei means it's got to be motzui, it's got to be muchsak. Now, as we'll see in this brisa, not always can we easily differentiate between what is muchsak and what is ro'oi. We'll see it's a machloikis Rabbi Rabbanon, and the brisa gives us a number of examples. So, Tana Rabban, HaBachar, the Bachar that we're referring to, says Rishbam, is Bachar, the son of a Kohen. And as we know, a Kohen is entitled to certain matnois kahuna, and one of those matnas kahuna is the zroya lechayayim v'hakeva. We're not really that familiar with that concept today, because since basically the times of the Beis Hamikdash, we no longer give kohanim the zroya lechayayim v'hakeva. However, min ha-toyrah, this is a requirement, not talking about kodshim, we're talking about any time a person takes a cow to the shoychet and says, shoychet, please shech this animal for me. After he shechs it, and we're boidik, it's a kosher animal, everything is fine. Now you take out the zroi l'chayayim v'keiva, and you have to hand it over to the kohen. Why is this not noyig nowadays? That's a sugyet in Mesechtes Chulin. One of the tamim is because anybody can eat zroi l'chayayim v'keiva. Although it's matnas kahuna, it's not like truma, even a zor can eat it. And since we don't know who the kohanim are, it becomes basically mamon she'en le'toivin. No kohen can demand, give me my zroi l'chayayim v'keiva, prove that you're a kohen. Okay, anyway, but that's not our sugya. The bottom line is, if you have a bechor of a kohen and this zroi l'chayayim v'keiva, then the bechor gets a double portion of that zroi l'chayayim v'keiva. Exactly what are we talking about? How did the kohen get zroi l'chayayim v'keiva? Did he get it yet? All that will be discussed shortly in the Gemara. Now that's Vaychulin. What about Ubi Mekdoshin? If the person who passed away, now we don't have to talk about a Kohen. Now we can talk about anybody. Anybody passed away and left over in his corral, in his barn, not only regular Chulin animals, but also Kachim animals, that he was Makdish to go and bring for a Karban, but unfortunately never got to it because he passed away. Or b'shvach sheshavchu nechosam l'achar mises aviyem, new shvach that came in post-mortem, that's the halacha that we spoke about, that ein b'chor noitel pishnayim b'roi k'b'muchzik. So if shvach sheshavchu nechosam l'achar mises aviyem, even there the braisa says the b'chor is noitel pishnayim. Hey, one second. If it only came in l'achar mises aviyem, so then it's not muchzik, it's roi. V'ein b'chor noitel pishnayim b'roi k'b'muchzik. So the Braisa says, I knew that you're going to ask that question. Therefore, I'm telling you, So what is the Braisa telling us? The Braisa is telling us that when do I say the Eina B'char Noitel Peroi Kima Muchzik, if it's the type of Ro'oi that would not have happened automatically, but rather the Yorshim have to go and put in new efforts, new overhead expense to be able to get this new income. However, if it's a type of income that would have come automatically, like on auto pay, you don't have to do anything, the money would come in, then the Bechor is Noitel Pishnai. So give me an example. So the example that the Braisa gives is very simple. What happens if the father who passed away owned a para, and he rented out the parah to his friend, and they signed a lease agreement, you know, just like you go to a Hertz rent a car or whichever rent a car you go, and you lease a car for a week. Every day they charge you $100 a day, $200 a day, whatever it is, and you sign the lease agreement. You don't pay on the spot. As we know, ein schiris mishtalemes el libesoif. And even here in America, the same thing applies. When you sign these lease agreements, you don't pay up front, you pay at the end, when you return the car, and then they make your cheshbon, and then you got to go and pay. Ah, so the nifter had a para. He rented it out to someone. They agreed to whatever the price is. And a week later, I'm going to come back, I'm going to pay you. And unfortunately, Loyalini, the owner, passed away. But that has nothing to do with the lessee. He still has to go and pay. So he's going to go and bring in the money, and that money is going to go to the estate, will go to the ocean. So that's what the Gemara means by it comes in automatically. No further work has to be done by the Yarshim. Or similarly, when the owner passed away, he left over a pregnant animal. And the animal was visibly pregnant, everybody saw that. And the owner was looking forward to the good news of a brand new baby cow or baby calf. And guess what happens? Unfortunately, the owner passed away. But the baby calf came out, you know, another week later, a month later, 3 months later, whatever it is. Once again, the Yarshim had nothing to do. There was no overhead expense. There was no investment. It came at autopay, automatically. Oh, says the price, if it comes automatically, then it's not considered to be ra'oi. Considered to be muhsak. See, you're wondering, so when is it considered to be ra'oi? I'll tell you, says the Braisa. If banu batim, if you had to have that the Yorshim built brand new houses, or not to krumim, they planted brand new vineyards, and that brings in solid income. Yeah, but it wouldn't have happened on its own. The only reason why it happens is, Rabbi Yisai, because there was an overhead expense. The Yorshim went and had to build the house. They had to go and plant the vineyard. Oh, that's already considered to be ro'ui and not muhsik. That's what the Braisa says. We're going to talk about it a little bit further on the bottom of the Amud. With this, we have concluded the Braisa, and now the Gemara dissects every one of the cases and explains them. So let's go to the first case again. It said the Bechor Noto Bishnaim Bezroi L'chayim V'akeva. Frank the Gemara, Hey Chidami, this Zroi L'chayim V'akeva, what are we talking about? Idiosli De'avuayim, did the father already receive? There was a local shoychid in town. He shechted an animal. He already handed over the Zeroya L'chayayim V'akeva to the Kohen. And now it's part of the Kohen's estate. And now the children are subdividing the estate. L'pshitin, of course, that the Bechor gets a Chelek Pishnaim, because he was Mamish Muchzik. When the father, the Kohen, passed away, that was part of his estate. If nobody handed him Zeroya L'chayayim V'akeva, somebody intended to give him, but Lamas, he didn't get it yet. Rather, after he passed away, we got a FedEx package of Zeroya L'chayayim V'akeva. The father was already no longer here. Then it's Royhu. He wasn't muchzik at it at the time of his passing. It's post-mortem. V'yena b'chor neglishtayim kim b'muchzik. B'roy kim b'muchzik. And V'nimar is talking about an unusual situation. Hach makire kahuna oskinan u'di ish tachit b'chai da'avoyim. What does that mean? We are familiar with the concept of makire kuhuna. Makire kuhuna means that this kohen was well known in town and he had a lot of family and friends. And whenever they would go and shecht an animal, they would hand over the matonis to this particular kohen. Or for that matter, if they grew tavua, they would give their truma to this particular kohen. And they'd be giving to this kohen for the last 25 years. Everybody knew he had an exclusive vis-a-vis the following family members and friends. He always got the matonis from them. Fine. And it's talking about matonis lehofreshu, kimisha hofreshu dami, or kimisha kehormu dami. What does that mean? That when the father passed away, the shoychit had already shechted. The shoychit shechted his animal at 12 o'clock midday. And in the meantime, they're being boidik all of the Ivorim, they're blowing up the lungs to make sure everything is good, and no sircha, no problems. And then at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the Koyin unfortunately passed away. Okay? At 2 o'clock, after all the chakiris and medikas, everything was done, then they lift out, they extract from the geshachdana behema, the zroi v'chayim v'akeva. So now I have a situation of it's matonish lehormudami. At the time that the father passed away, those matonis were still embedded inside the animal. They had not been extracted yet. Post-mortem, they were taken out of the body of the animal. Ados is the chiddush now of the brisa. We have to come up with the brisa's halacha, we have to combine two concepts. Number one, we're talking about makirei kuhuna, that therefore by definition, these matonis were destined to go to the kohen who passed away. Udishtak b'chayi avon is talking about that it was already geshochten whilst the avon was still alive. However, the matonis had not been extracted yet. Because some matonis it's as if they were already extracted. It's as if they're on the table ready to be delivered to the kohen. So even though the kohen passed away, that's still considered to be muchsuk according to this brisa. Therefore, the Bechar is Noitel Pishnai. Now, we talked about Mukdoshim. Frey Timara, Mukdoshim Lavdi Deinenu. Let's say the person who passed away had in his flock a Korban Chatos, a Korban Oila, in other words, a Lebedik animal, which he had been Makdish for an Oila, for a Chatos, whatever it was. Now, this is a Dinah Me'ila. Doesn't belong to the father that passed away. He's just a Shoimer on that. He's just keeping it in safeguard. It belongs to the Bainu Shalom. If somebody were to ride in the back of that animal or put peklach on the back of that animal, then of course there would be moil behagdish. So if it's not his, it's not only that the Bechor shouldn't get Pishnayim, the Bechor and the brother shouldn't get anything. It's a behemoth that you have to bring to the base of Migdish. It doesn't belong to me, it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to the Bainu Shalom. So what is this whole discussion of Bechor Noitel Mishnayim? Everything we're talking about bekotchim kalim. Oh, we're not talking about a chatas from oila. We're talking about a shlomim lemoshel. Oh, that's a different story. But even a kotchim kalim, I have to go and bring it to the base of Mikdash. How does it become momoin, the mominess of the koyin, of the nifter? Says you're talking about a libet Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Oh, this is the famous Rabbi Yosi Aglili, the Amar that holds that kotchim kalim momin balim. Where do we find this Rabbi Yosi Aglili? The sign you molam al Bashem, the rabbi's kochim kalim shein momoin balim divre b'yoisi haglili. What is that case all about? That's talking about a case of the famous Asham Gzelois. What's Asham Gzelois? Reuven takes Shimon to Bezin and says to Shimon, Shimon, you owe me money. Based on what? I'll tell you. Umol abal Bashem v'chichish b'amisoi b'pikodoin oi b'gozel oi b'sesumas yod. Reuven says to Shimon, Shimon, don't you remember you found my aveda and you never gave it back to me? Shimon, don't you remember you were my employer and you never gave me my employee's wages? Shimon, don't you remember I left you a pikod and you never gave it back to me? Shimon, don't you remember that one time you stole money from me in the middle of Bes Medrash, you took my wallet and you never gave it back? And then Shimon solemnly swears, the Nishba al Shoker, he swears on 1,000 Bibles and a stack of Bibles that no, I didn't steal, I didn't find your Aveda, I didn't withhold employees' benefits or employees' compensation, etc., etc. So he made a false shvua, and then he was Moida. Ooh, this fellow, when he's Moida, what does he have to pay? He does not go and pay kefil, but rather he has to bring a special carbon, which is called Asham Gezelois, and he has to go and pay Keren V'choymish. That's the halacha that you find towards the end of Parshas Vayikra. Now, what's remarkable about that parsha, the parsha begins, Nefesh kisechta umol amal b'ashem v'chichesh ba'amisoy. If you have the Torah or HaSholem, it's the final pasuk here, in the Torah Ora Shalom, in my Gemara it's Ois Yud, and yours might be Yud, or number 10. So Nefesh Kisach, the person erred, he sinned. Umolam al Bashem, and he made him ill against Hashem. V'chichesh ba'misa, and he denied vis-a-vis his friend. Pikodin sumasyod. Sumasyod means a halva. Oy, the gozel that he stole, or yosher kasamisoy, or that he didn't pay wages. What does this have to do with the Rabbeinu Shalom? I mean, anything that you do, you have to, has to do with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Just that you breathe. Kol neshama ta'alka. Kol neshimu neshima ta'alka. Everything that you do has to do with the Rabbeinu Shalom. But here we're talking about a strictly speaking, a dispute on mammonis between Reuven and Shimon. Reuven says, Shimon, you owe me the money. Shimon says, I don't owe you the money. What does it have to do with Hashem? Therefore, says Rabbi Yosef Aglili, the purpose of these extra words, and therefore, if Reuven says to Shimon, hey, Shimon, you took my carbon shlomim and you never returned it to me, it's considered to be moment balim, that if afterwards he makes a shvua, and then he is moide, he's going to have to bring a korban hasham gezelois together with keren v'chaynish. Ah, so since a contribution glili has the status of mamon balim, see here too, if a person passed away and he left over a shlomim in his eder, in his barn, in his corral, then the bechor noitel pishtai. Next case. Hiniach lehen avien, the paru muhkeres umuskeres biyad achayrim, that the paru was not in his own rishus at the time of his demise, but rather it was in the hands of a renter, a lessee, who rented his paru. And after Shiva is over, the lessee comes to all the assignment and says, not only amoki menachem eschem, but he brings a check for the amount of the rental payment, for the lease payment. So this is money that comes in post-mortem. I would think, oh, this is roi and not muchzik. Zokta Bryson, no, this is muchzik. Same thing, oisha oisa roi b'afar. If the animal was just grazing out there in the marshes, v'yolda b'char, v'yolda, and it gave birth to a baby, b'char noikl b'pishnayim. Now, the reason, again, is like we said before, because this is considered to be muchzak. Why is it considered to be muchzak? Because this is shvach shebom memela. This came automatically without the Yoshim having to lift a finger. The reason why they got the lease payment is because the guy owes it based on the lease. The reason why they got the baby that was born to the animal, because the animal was already pregnant when the father was still alive. Ah, so now the Gemara asks, Ha shemukheres umuskeres. Three lines from the bottom of Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Ha shemukheres umuskeres. The Labashusa the Gemara did who kaima. The animal wasn't even in the corral. He wasn't even in the barn. He wasn't in the rishus of the nifter. Amr Shokul, you say that the b'chor is noitel pishnai, is roya b'afar, when it's going and grazing in the marshes, where those marshes either belonged to the nifter, or they were hefker, you know, community marshes, everybody could go in and use it. So the miboy is the chavad and avada that's considered to be muksik in the hands of the nifter. So what's the chiddush of the braisa? So tomorrow I'll tell you what the chiddush is. Hokamash v'lan, the muskeres, dumya de roi bafar, ma roi bafar, shvacha de melekasi. When it comes to roi bafar, the yisoimim didn't have to pay a penny. Like a chasri bo mazoina. Why didn't they have to feed mazoinas to the para? Because the para was grazing in the marshes. And the marshes had enough straw and enough hay and enough alfalfa for the next 10 years. So they didn't have to go and pay anything. It was only automatic profit, which was considered to be muchzik. Similar to that, says Imar, now top of Kuf Chavdal and Amud Aleph, top line. It's talking about that the lease agreement provided explicitly that the owner has no duties whatsoever during that 1 week or 1 month period that the person rented out the para. He has to go and pay for the insurance. He has to pay for any repair and maintenance. He has to go and supply the gas, just like today. Anybody that rents a car, you got to go and supply the gas yourself. That's part of the bill, right? So here too, he had to go and supply the animal fodder for the animal. The Yisoyim didn't have to pay anything, no overhead expense, no sweat off their back. It was just a check that's going to come in the mail, or credit card, or auto pay. In such a case, our Braisa holds that even though this is Shvach that came post-mortem, but nevertheless, B'chor Noitel Pi Shnai. So now this distinction between Shvach Debo Memela, which is considered to be Muchsik, and Shvach Shishbichu Yesoimim, which is that the Yesoimim had to do something. This is a very hot ticket item, a Machloikis Rebbe and Rabbanan, and this is what's going to occupy us for most of the rest of the daf. So Timur Mani, who's the one that makes this distinction between automatic Shvach, which has a status like Muchsik, or Shvach, which is not Bomemela? It's Shvach only as a result of the Yesoimim doing something, the Yorshim doing something. That distinction is Rebihi. The Sanya, we learned in the Braisa. Ein b'chor noitel b'shnayim b'shvach sheshovchu nechosam li'achar mises aviyah. Shvach that came post-mortem, but it didn't come automatically. It came as a result of the Yesoimim doing something. Take, for instance, nowadays, the father passed away, they found that he left over cash under his mattress, $1,000. They quickly rushed it off to the broker or to the bank, and they were able to go and get, for the next 6 months, ich weiß, 1%, 2%, 5%, whatever, on a CD. And then 6 months later, oh, the money comes in. The CD interest came in. Is that considered to be roi? Is that considered to be muchzik? Says our Gemara, since the Yisraim had to do something, they had to invest those funds in the CD, or like the Bryce has said on the Amid Beis, bonu batim, not to kramim, even though all of this is a derivative of the property that was owned by father. However, since the Yisraim had to be mashbiach, they had the overhead expense, they had the overhead concern to get this invested. That's the reason why you do not, eina b'chor noitu b'shnayim, the b'chor does not get a double portion. But Revi oimer ani, b'chor noitu b'shnayim, b'shvach sheshavchu nechosim li'achar mises aviyem. If it happened automatically, shvacha di osam meila, then the b'chor is noitu b'shnayim. When doesn't he not get? Avaloi b'shvach sheshbichu yesoim li'achar mises aviyem. If it's shvach that yesoimim, they had that overhead expense, they had to do an investment post-mortem, oh, then the Bechor is not Noitel Bishnaim, it's only it's got to be Motsui. If this is only Ro'ui, because the Yisoyim did subsequent investments post-mortem, then everybody agrees the Bechor is not Noitel Bishnaim. So, Rabbeisai, clearly, for today's daf, we have to bear in mind anything that comes in after the father passes away. It has to be analyzed. Is this money that would have come in automatically? Or is this money that the Yesoimim, the Yorishim, have to exert efforts in order to be able to get these monies through their having invested, such as Banu Batim, Notu Kram? And this is a machloik is now between Rebbe and the Chum. As far as the Chum are concerned, it's a very simple black letter law, bottom line. Any penny that comes in after father passed away, don't even think about it. You do not give Bechor Pishnai. According to Rebbe, no, but you have to see. Did it come in autopilot? Or did it come as a result of new efforts on the part of the Yisrael? And now the Gemara gives a bunch of examples. The easiest example is Yorshu Shtar Choyv. What happens? The father passed away, and he was a very nice, magnanimous individual, and he had lent money to others. And now, among the possessions of father, they found in his safe deposit box that he had a Shtar Choyv. Yankel Smith owes him $100. And Yankel Smith is a fine mensch. A month later, he comes in with a check. Here, Yisoimim, Yorishim, here's $100 your father lent me, I'm paying you back. Is the Bechor Noitel Pishnayim, yes or no? Says our Gemara, yes, Bechor Noitel Pishnayim. Now, why is he Bechor Noitel Pishnayim? Says Rejbam, this goes a libe de Rebbe. The Rebbe says if the Yisoimim, the Yorishim, didn't have to do anything new, they didn't have to go and invest, they didn't have to go and build Batim, they didn't have to go not to Kramim. This is because the father left over Shtar Choyv, then it's not considered to be Ro'ui, it's considered to be Muchsik. However, Rishbam points out that that's only if there's a Shtar. If, however, it is a milva al peh, then we do not say b'chor noitel pishnayim. Why is that? Because when you have a piece of paper, even though it's taka only a piece of paper, however, it's a valuable piece of paper called a shtar choyv. The father owned something tangible, something that you could put your hands around. When he passed away, now the children can pick up the shtar choyv and they can put their hands on it. In such a case, it's muchzik. However, if it's a milva bal peh, it's really osiyos porchos ba'avir. It's not gizhakt. Why is it only osiyos porchos ba'avir? Says Rishbam, because if you don't have a piece of paper and you go to the loive and say, loive, pay up, the loive will say, sir, I paid already. Prove it that I didn't pay. You don't have a shtar. You don't have any rias or proof. And therefore, the children are never going to be able to go and collect on that milva al peh. But a milva b'shtar, they can collect because it's a piece of paper. If I paid you, if the loiva paid you, then why didn't you rip the shtar up? Or where's the receipt? Where's the shoiver? Etc. So therefore, yoshu shtar choy b'char noitel pishnayim, again, only according to Rebbe, not according to the Rabbanan. Because according to Rabbanan, anything that trickles in post-mortem, zero. You don't get pishnayim. You get all the pshutim. Everybody gets a chelek haposhet. But there's no chelek pishnayim. Now, that is very, very simple at this point. On the Amud Beis, however, we'll see it's not so simple. We'll get to that in Yatrim shortly. Now, this is if they were yarshining a shtar choyv. What happened? Yotalein shtar choyv. In other words, the Yesoimim, they finish Shiva, they finish Loishim, they're saying Kaddish the whole year, and at some point, Mr. Smith comes to them and says, I'm sorry to tell you, my good friends, but your father owed me $100. You, well, I didn't know anything. Well, here's a shtar, look at it. Ooh, Taket says that father owes them $100. Ay, what are we going to do? Obviously, they have to pay, there's no choice. I mean, okay, let's talk about with a handpick, there's kiyum. There's no doubt that this is a bona fide shtar, and they have no shoiver, they got to pay. The question is, what about the bechor? How much does he have to pay? Says our Gemara, Yotzalein shtar choy bechor noisim pishnai. Just like the bechor receives a double portion, he has to pay a double portion. After all, he has either already received a double portion, or he will receive a double portion. So, in having to pay for this shtar choy, he's going to have to pay a double portion for the shtar choy. So, that's so far pretty straightforward. Now the chiddush of our Gemara is v'im omar eini noisin v'eini noitel. What does the Gemara say? Loy miuktzech v'loy medufshech. You know, says the Bechor, shkoyech, I moichel my double portion. I don't want to receive double. I don't want to give double. The Gemara, of course, doesn't go into the details, but the Rishvam explains what happens if, in fact, the amount of that shtar choiv is huge. And maybe the whole estate is not enough to go and cover the entire shtar choyv. And now we're saying to the b'chor, you're going to have to pay a double portion. So, says Rishbam, he says to himself, Mali letzora hazois. What benefit do I get of getting a double portion if I'm going to have to go and pay a double portion of this shtar choyv? And therefore he says, you know what, Rabbeisai, I'm moichel. I'm going to get a poshet, a chelik poshet like everybody else, and therefore I'm only going to pay a chelik poshet in this shtar choyf. Says Yimar Vim Amar, any noise, any noise till Rishoy, he's allowed to go and say that. Now, why is he allowed?
Why only double portion? Why can't he recuse himself from the entire estate?
Excellent, excellent, excellent point. Very good. So now, based on what you're saying, why can't Yorshim say every time, anytime there's a shtar choyf, I'm out of here, I don't want any Yerusha, forget about me, you figure out how you're going to get paid, I'm not going to get involved, I withdraw and I disclaim any Yerusha in this Yerusha, in this estate. Says Rishbam, because any other receipt of payment or receipt of kind by any of the Yorshim, that's called Yerusha, by definition, that's inheritance. However, when you're talking about Pishnaim, it says, Losseis loy Pishnaim. Losseis is a Loshin Matana. Since a Loshin Matana, the Makabal Matana says, Soyne matonas yichya. I don't want the matona. I know the Rabbi Yishol gave me matona, that since I'm a Bechor, I'm allowed to go and get a double portion. Rabbi Yishol shkoyach, I don't want the matona. So just like any person can refuse to receive a present from anybody, no thanks, it's very nice of you, very magnanimous, I'll send them a nice thank you card, but I don't want the matana. See, therefore, he too can go and say, I don't want the second portion. But he can't say, I don't want the first portion, because that's called Yerusha, and not matana. That's how Rishbam learns Pshat in our Gemara. If you want to just see a couple of words, it's a long Rishbam. The Rishbam starts, Vim Omar Eini Noitel, that's the second wide line. Starts with Rishbam. Vim Omar Eini Noitel, onto the third line, Pishnayim. We call Yerusha's Avi. I don't want it. Shereni Moichel, Chevi B'choira. The Ethel Chevi K'Poshet. I only want to be like a Poshet Yid. I don't want to be a double Yid. And Leficha Lo Yashalim L'Malveh. I don't want to pay the Malveh Pishnayim. El Kemeged Mashani Noitel. Only against the Chevi K'Poshet that I'm going to go and take. Rishon, you can do that. There's no problem with doing that. Now the question is, why is there no problem? So now, if you skip down to... The question about Kirkley, yeah, 2, 4, 6, 8. It's the eighth line of the Rishbam, the eighth wide line. In the middle of the line, it says, Kamash Mulan. I hope everybody has that. Kamash Mulan, the Bryce is telling us, the Bal Korchay lo izochi v'rachmana. The Torah did not force upon the Bechor the Chelik Shnayim. Why? The cause of the Torah says, Loses loy, ken matana. Im yirza lekabla. If you want to receive the matana, by all means, here it is. I give it to you. It's nicely gift wrapped with a ribbon on top. It's yours. Vim yimcha shloi lekabel. If he says no, I'm moicha. No, thank you. I don't want matanas. Then ein mizak leli other bal korcha. You can't force someone to lekari rachmani yerusha ela matana. That's the key. The chelik pishnayim is not a yerusha; it's a matana. Av mechelik pshitusoy and yochalei mekain. Sheri yoishu bal korchoy. A Kodesh Baruch Hu has endowed every living being, or at least bonim of every nifter, that whether they like it or not, they get the yerusha. And the yerusha, of course, typically is a tremendous benefit, but there could be big liabilities. That it goes hand in hand. However, Bechor that gets Pishnayim, because of losses, because of Matana, there you can go and say, I don't want my Chelik, the second portion of Pishnayim, I'll take my Chelik portion, I have no choice. But I'm not going to take my second Chelik. Anyway, so I hope that addresses your question, Barry. And getting back to the Gemara, so says the Gemara, if he says, Mama, any noise, no, it'll be shy. Now, put a dot over here, right at this point, because the Gemara now goes back to the Machloikis Rebbe and the Rabban. Remember, what's the Machloikis Rebbe and Rabban? It's very simple Machloikis, that we say, Eina Bechor Noitel Kebroi Kibemuchzik, says the Rabbanan, you read that literally. Any income that comes in post-mortem after the father passed away, I don't care how the money came in, Ein HaBachor Noitel Pishnayim. He doesn't get a double portion. Says, Rebbe, it depends. What does it depend on? If it's Shvach, Sheshav Chuba, Memeila, the Shvach came on its own automatically, like the lease payment for the Parah, or like the behemoth that was born to the Parah after the Nifter passed away, since that was going to come Memeila, says Rebbe, that's like Muxik, that's Muxik. It's only something that you have to put in new efforts, new investments. Bonu batim, not to kromim, then ein b'chor noitel pishnayim. Chesky, I see you just joined us. We're on Kuf Chof Dalid Omid Aleph. We're just past halfway down, or actually we're just at halfway down the Omid, Kuf Chof Dalid Omid Aleph. Says in my time of the Rabbanan. Why the Rabbanan say that anything that comes in after the nifter passes away, even though it comes in memeila, it comes in automatically. The Bechor does not get pishnayim. Omer Krakus says in the pasuk, "Lo says loy pishnayim matana kari rachmana." It's a matana. Ma matana adematchi liyode afchili bechor adematchi liyode. Just like until now, we spoke about a mekabel matana could say, "No, thank you, I don't want the matana." Same thing applies to the noise in a matana. A noise in matana can only give a matana. if he has the matana in hand. If he didn't receive the matana yet, you cannot give over the matana. Rishbam says it's a davar shlo boli oilam. I'm hoping to receive, imyet Hashem, in a month from now, a present from my great-great-great-great-grandfather of $1,000, and I tell you already now, when I get it, I'm going to give it to you. Since I don't own it yet, I cannot give it. Say the Rabbanon, since the Nifter didn't own this lease payment yet, since the owner didn't own the baby that was born to his flock, he didn't own it. You can't give something matana that you don't own. It's a davar shlo boli oilam. And that's why it makes no difference that it came in memela automatically. Until it reaches father's hand, it's not muhsik, it's ro'i. If it comes in later on, since it's a matana, father never owned the matana to be able to bequeath the matana. That's according to Rabban. Rabbi Omer omekro pishnayim. What's the losh of pishnayim? The Torah could have said the Bechor gets oid chelik, vozoktep pishnayim, makish chelik Bechor, le chelik poshet, ma chelik poshet, avagav doi matali yodai. Just like the chelik poshet, even though it did not come into his hands yet. What does that mean? When a father passes away, of course you have nechasim which are there, the estate at that point. What happens if future monies come in from investments, from rental payments, lease payments, a CD which is now matured, a lottery ticket, whatever. Anything that comes in later on, says our Gemara, the poshut certainly gets. There's no din that a poshut doesn't get beroy kibemuchzik. It's only a bechor doesn't get beroy kibemuchzik. If 20 years after a person passes away, an insurance company comes and sends you a letter and says, Smith family, I've been looking for you for the last 20 years. We just discovered that your father passed away 20 years ago, and we have insurance proceeds. We want to give it to you. What's the best address? Which bank account can we send it to? Of course, nowadays you have to be worried that this may be a scam. However, in the good old days, these things happened, that they didn't know that someone passed away. The Yorshin didn't know that there was a life insurance policy, and they get the insurance many, many years later. So says the Gemara, the same thing over here, that af chelik b'choira, just like the chelik poshet, you can get years later. So the same thing happens vis-a-vis the chelik pishnayim, the chelik of the b'chor, he can also get it years later. But says Rishbam, but, it's got to be automatic shvach that comes in. Because if you're talking about income that comes in only after the Yorshim invested and did, like Banu Batim, not to Kramim, to Shanish. Why not? Because there I have the other Pasuk. I have the Pasuk, B'chol Hashim Motzilai, it's got to be Motzui. And therefore, what's going on, although the Gemara doesn't say it expressly, is we have over here a bit of a tension. What is the tension? That we have, the tension is that on the one hand, the Pasuk says, B'chol Hashim Matzoloi, it's got to be Matzoi, and not something which is just Ro'oi. On the other hand, I have this Pasuk that says, Pishnayim, to just like a Pashut gets when it's in its Ro'oi, so B'chol also gets when it's Ro'oi. Oh, but you just said, oh, so we're going to make that distinction that we just made. If it's the type of shvach shishbichu yisoymen, the yisoymen had to go and put in additional effort, expense, etc., then it's ro'i, not muchzik. But something that comes in automatically, without any further efforts on the part of the yorshim, the yisoymen, then the b'chor is noitu pishnayim. Because of the words, the Pishnaim makish chelik b'chori lechelik poshet. Okay, Freidim of Rabbanim. So now the Gemara asks on each of the Rabbanim and Rebbe, what do they do with the drosha of the other Mandi Amar? Rabbanim nami oksid pishnaim, which suggests that the chelik ha-b'chori is like the chelik ha-poshut, that even roi that comes in subsequently, you're muchzikon. So the Rabbanim, no, I'll tell you what that pishnaim is coming to tell you. The mesvalei achad metzra, to go and say that the bechor can get both portions on the same metzar, on the same border. Meaning, What happens if father left over three fields and there are two boys? There's the Bechor and there's the second, the younger brother. You have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is the Bechor, he gets two portions. Shimon only gets one portion, and there are three fields. So Reuven gets two out of the three. Now, theoretically, Shimon can go and say, okay, you get number one, and you get number three, and I, Shimon, I'm going to take the middle field. Says the Gemara, that's not a nice thing to do. It's almost like Koifen al Midas Sadoi. Rather, go and give him the two fields together, one and two, or two and three. But don't give him one and three, because then you have the two adjacent to one another. That's much more helpful. Says Rabbi, yes.
What do you need a drusha for that? That's being a bar mitzvah. What do you need a drusha for that? If it was just a normal commercial transaction, you give the person the contiguous field.
Very, very nice. You don't really mean dina de bar mitzvah. Dina de bar mitzvah means that a person who wants to sell his property first, but you mean something which is akin, you mean parallel. It's the same type of svar of dina bar mitzvah. A koifer al midas sedoyim.
But if someone wants to buy a property, as long as the price is the same, the right of first refusal belongs to the immediate neighbor.
No question.
His brother is the immediate neighbor. It's a subset of that. We don't need to come on to this.
Barry, I hear you loud and clear. Here we're talking about that neither of them own any of those three properties, because they both own all of the three properties. It has not been subdivided. Your case of a bar mitzvah is a person owns a field, and then Chas Shalom, father passes away, leaving over a whole bunch of fields. One of them happens to be next door, right next to his. So then Al Koif Al Midas Adoyim says the Yoyrish, that I own this field, please give me the one right next to it. Al Pisvora, you're right, he should be entitled to that second field. Derech Agav, as a footnote, we had this earlier on in our Masechta, back in the first parak, and the Gemara says that the other Yorishim can go and say that Hareini, that as far as we're concerned, that property is like the property of Bar Merion. Bar Merion was a very wealthy individual, and they're saying, we know that you want this property because it's right next door to yours. We're happy to give it to you. However, in appraising the value of each of the properties, we consider this property to be very valuable, and therefore each one of us would want that, and they can then go and hike up the price. Whether that's equitable, ethical, this, that, and the other thing, that's not our sugya. But bottom line, this is not a bar mitzvah because he didn't own it yet. We have now two brothers. The two brothers have to divide up three fields. The brother one, Bechor, is entitled to two out of the three. The second one is entitled to one out of the three. Solka Daita Chamina, just throw the Goyrolis in the hat and let the Reuven take one and three and Shimon take two. That's why it says Pishnayim. No, that when you are varfing Goyrol or you are allocating the properties, make sure to go and give the Bechor the two adjacent properties, because that makes much more sense. The Bechor is just like the Chelek HaPoshet. Just like the Chelek HaPoshet you're giving him, give him the one right next to it. It's these like twin towers, twin properties. He should get the two together. So that's what the Rabbana learned from the Pishnai. The Metzah Le'achad Metzah. For Rabbi Nami, okay, so that's the Rabbana. What does Rabbi do with the Losseis Loi, which suggests that this is a Matana? And since it's a Matana, father cannot give a Matana that he does not own at the time of his passing. Rabbi Nami Yaksiv Losseis Loi, Hahushim, Omer, Eni Noitav, Eni Noisim, Nishoim. Oh, that's the drasha that we had earlier on the Omid, where the Bechor says, I don't want to take that second Chelik. Why? It's a Matana. Soina Matanas Yichya. I don't want Matanas. The Yerusha I have to take. I have no choice, because Yerusha is forced upon you in the Torah. But if the Torah can't force me to take a Matana, then he's allowed to go and say, and you know it till I don't want it. Rapapa. Now Rapapa is giving us an example of the machlokes between Rebbe and the Rabban. Rapapa, Dikla V'olim. Father left over a beautiful dekel tree, like a palm tree, that produces, for instance, number one, lulavim for sukkis, number two, brooms for throughout the year, and number three, tamarim dates. That dikla v'olim, the father, when he passed away, it was a nice little tree. By the time they went and split up the estate, 6 months later, a year later, this dekel tree had already grown nicely, it had gotten nice and thick and tall. It was worth much more now than it was originally. Now this happened automatically. Nobody had to do anything vis-a-vis that tree. They didn't have to water it, they didn't have to fertilize it. Sigigangen von Jichalein, which means it grew automatically. Or Aravi Asik Shirtoin, father left over a field, and during the winter there was this terrible storm. In Yiddish they call it Afar Fleitzung. And what happened was it brought with it a whole flood. And when the flood died down and everything was peaceful again, they saw that this property that the flood brought in, topsoil and fertilizer and other wonderful stuff from elsewhere, maybe it brought dried leaves, maybe it brought galolim, whatever it brought along, and now the property is worth more than it was worth before, because now it'll produce better and more payers. Then everybody agrees, even the Rabbanan would agree, the shakel, what means the shakel? That the Bechor is noitel pishnaim. Why? Because every dekel tree automatically gets thicker and bigger over time. And the same thing applies that all properties from time to time, because of climate and the weather and this and that, the other thing, that's what's going to happen. So everybody agrees, the shakel, even the Rabbanan to Rabbanan. Keep thinking, where's the machloikis? Bechafura. That was chafura. Chafura, explains Rishbam, means that when father passed away, this property only had straw growing out, which was valuable for cattle fodder and the like. And by the time they're ready to subdivide it, that cattle fodder in the form of straw has now become fully baked and fully ripened tmua, like wheat or barley. Oh, that's a major change. Even though the children didn't do anything, it just happened on its own. The Rabbeinu Shloilem allowed this property no longer just to have straw, but now it has wheat and it has barley and all the rest. Then Avada Kuliyama Pligi, in this, oh, that's Chafur Vavi Shufli. Or Shlufafi Vavi Tami. Shlufafi, explains Rishbam, means that you had your date tree, and on the date tree it had date blossoms, meaning that you saw perhaps the beginning of the fruit, but it was very, 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 very small. You saw perhaps a couple of leaves growing out, maybe a couple of twigs, but you really had no peri. When did this peri come out? A month later, and now it's beautiful dates, and they're delicious, and all great. In that case, then there's a machloikis. The Maharsha of Shvachim Meila says, Rebbe, that's a Shvachim Meila. I didn't do anything. Automatically, this property went from straw to tevua, and automatically it went from the date blossoms to real dates. And therefore, it's b'chor noitel pishnai. Umar sober ishtani, and the other man, the Yomah, said, no, there's been a major shinui. Now, it's not only there's been a shinui in the physicality, but it's also in the name. Rishbam says, havi dover acher v'shem acher. In the case of the dikla v'olim, it was a tree before, and it's a tree later on. It's like a thicker tree and a taller tree, maskim. But it's the same tree. Therefore, even the Rabbanan agree that it's considered to be muchzik. Ara v'asik shirtoin. Rishbam says the fact that now this ara is much more fertile than it was before, because of that flood and because of the climate and all the rest, that's wonderful. But nobody gives it a different name as a result to that piece of property. It's exactly the same property as it was, just that it's now more idious than it's ziburious, but it's still same property. Mashenki, when you're talking about a property that until now had hay and now it has tvur, or you're talking about that now the tree until now only had these date blossoms and now it has real flat dates, that's a big difference. You can take that to market. They took the hay to market and they would say, hey, I'll give you a nickel for a bushel. You bring a bushel of wheat to market, that's already, this is a wheat, that's $1 a bushel, or $5 a bushel. And the same thing applies to the dates. So that then we would have the machloikis as rapapa between Rebbe and Rabbanan, whether b'char noitel, pishnaim, or not. And now we're going to see that this is a very hot issue. And you can see why it would be a hot issue, because unfortunately people pass away all the time. Almost every day there are levayas, and when people pass away, by definition, there's going to be an estate. sometimes a very modest estate, and sometimes a millionaire, billionaire estate. And of course, now you have children that want to share the estate. Now, not chas v'shalom that there's tension. It could be that all the children are, you know, all of the same mind, and Baruch Hashem, sholem v'shalva, very possibly. But now we're talking about legal rights. Does the Bechor get pishnayim in things which only came in post-mortem, or does he not? And that's going to be now big machloikis. Omer Rabbi Bechona, Omer Bechia, Asa Kedivri Rebbe, Asa Kedivri Chachamim Asa. Who's the Asa, says Rishbam, on the last line, if you had a dayan who was on a bezdin, he is the head of the surrogate's court, they're probating the estate, and one dayan decides, I'm going to paskin like Rebbe, that if it was shvach, the Asa Memela, Bechor Noitel Pishnai. Or you have the same dayan or different dayan that says, no, I hold like the Chachamim, and the Chachamim hold, anything that comes in post-mortem, by definition, is roy, it's not muxik, with the possible exception of Rapapa's case of the Dikla of Olin, but otherwise, anything after the person passed away, that is all roy and not muxik. Whatever the dayin will paskin, says Rabbi Bar Chana Am Rav Chia, is good. You cannot throw out the dayin and say, dayin, you're not worthy to be a dayin, you have to go and pay back reparations for what you did. Whatever they did is fine. I mean, it's either one way or the other. Back to the top of the Amid base, Mesapkale, because it's a suffix to Reb Chia. I halachik Rebbe mechavei roi v'lei mechavei rov. I halachik Rebbe mechavei roi v'afilu mechavei rov. We all know that halachik Rebbe mechavei roi. If Rebbe is arguing with a contemporary, Rebbe wins the case. However, if Rebbe is arguing with Rabbanon, with Chavirov, that's already a suffix. Do we paskin like Rebbe, or do we paskin like the Rabbanon? And since he has a suffix, he's telling us whatever the Dayan does, since the Shulchan Aruch has not been published yet in the times of Rabbi Chia, and the Rambam has not been published, nor the Tor, nor Chuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger, Chuvas Chassam Sofer, etc. Whatever the Dayan decides is good. He can either paskin like Rebbe or the Rabbanon. Amr Nachman Amr Rav. No, also lasses kidevi Rebbe. You're not allowed to paskin like Rebbe. Why does he say you're not allowed to paskin like Rebbe? Because kosavar halachi Rebbe mechaveroi v'loy mechaverov. If the rabbanon are arguing, the rabbanon win the argument. Now the lashon of the Gemara also lasses kidevi Rebbe is a very strong lashon. I mean also. Let it just simply say ain't halachi kirebi. So Rishbam already asks that question, and the Rishbam says, since Rav Nachman is addressing, Rav Nachman Amar Rav is addressing what Rav Chia said a moment ago, where Rav Chia says, it's basically dying, it's up to you, whatever you want to do, says Rav, oh no, says Rav, no, Osir, don't even think about doing like Rebbe, right? You have those no standing signs. Don't even think of parking or standing over here, even for a minute. So here too, it's also Lask Devi Rebbe, because Allah is not like Rebbe Mechavei Rav. That's what Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav. For Rav Nachman, Didei Omar, Mutalas is Kedivir Rebbe. No, the Allah is Kedivir Rebbe. And again, the Mefarshim say when he says Mutter, he really means Choyva Las is Kedivir Rebbe. You have to paskin like Rebbe. Kosovra, Allah Kedivir Mechavei Roy, Vafilu Mechavei Rav. Since in the name of Rav, he said Asur, on his own he said Mutter. But what he really means to say, the Allah is like Rebbe. Period. Now we're going to see weiter. Omer Rava, also lasa kedivi Rebbe. Don't do like Rebbe, do like the Rabbanon. Do not give the Bechor the double portion in the ro'oi. However, v'masa, osui. But b'diavad, if you did it, it's okay. Why is that? Because kasavar matan itmar. Now we find the term matan from time to time in Shas, says Rishbam. And whenever you see that loshen matan, it means that the Rabbanon were not able to conclusively paskin like one side or the other. And therefore, matan means, lichatchila, do it one way. But b'diavad, the other way is also okay. Shelley, thank you for joining us. We are in Kuf Chav Dalid Amid Beis, roughly 10 lines from the top of the Amid. So Rav is saying, lichatchila, do not paskin like Rebbe. But if you did it, that's okay, because matan itmar, that's how it was transmitted in the yeshivas and in the batei dinim, that matan. Matan means lechatchila, paskin like the rabban. But the other, you paskin like Rebbe. And now the Gemara is going to tell us a further level of machlok. As you can see from our Gemara, this was a very hot issue, a hot topic. Do you paskin like Rebbe, or do you paskin like the rabban? In Zokti Yetz Gemara, Tani Rav Nachman, Bishar Sifrei Debei Rav. What is that Loshen Bishar Sifrei Debei Rav? So Rishbam tells us something which is important, not only for our Gemara, but throughout Shas. And that is, we find sometimes references to Sifra, and sometimes we find references to Sifri. Really, it's not Sifri, it's really Sifrei. But the Oilim pronounces it Sifri. What's the difference between Sifra and Sifri? Says Rishbam, that Sifra is a Medrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra. That's called Sifra. All the other Midrashim on the Torah, there's no Medrash Halacha on Bereshis, because there's no Halacha in Bereshis, but or except, of course, Giran Noshim, Bris Mila, but other than that, there's basically no Halachas in Bereshis. So, in Shmois, says Rishbam, there is what we call the Mechilta. You also have on Bamidbar and on Devarim, they do not have separate names, and these are Sifrei, Shar Sifrei de Beirav, meaning the other Midrashi Halacha other than Sifra, which is devoted strictly to Torah's Kehanim on Vayikra. The other three, that's the Shar Sifrei, are on Shemois, Bamidbar, and Devar. Okay, so our Gemara is talking about Devarim. Why are we talking about Devarim? Because the halacha of B'chol HaShayim Motzeloi is a pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Ki Seitzei. You have the Torah Or HaSholem. Ki Esa B'chor Ben Asnu Yakir Los Isloi Pishnayim B'chol HaShayim Motzeloi. Now let's see, what does the Sifrei say about this halacha? Does it say like Rebbe? Or does it say like the Rabbanon? And as we'll see in the Gemara, there's a machloikis what it says in the Sifrei Debei Rav. Lama Zayn the Gemara. The word Rav, by the way, does not mean, Poshet, it does not mean that Rav wrote the Sifrei, but rather, Rishbam says Sifrei was written by Reb Shimon. And therefore, Sifrei Debei Rav means that you find these Svarim in a Bismedish, in the Rav, wherever you have a Rav, a Rosh Hashiva that has a Bismedish that's learning Torah, you'll find it in the other Shar Sifrei. Don't look on the bookcase that says Sifra, that's the Vayikra one. Since you're looking for Kiseitze in Parshas Dvarim, in Parshas Kiseitze, in Sefer Dvarim, look in the Shar Sifrei, look at the other bookshelves where you're going to go and find Shar Sifrei Debei Rav. That's how Rishbam seems to learn. The article brings, however, that there's some that say that Rav had something to do with it, that he was the one that composed it, but really it's all based on the Tanoim. Because Rishbam says that Stam Sifra is Reb Yehud and Stam Sifrei is Reb Shimon. It's a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. Anyway, if you want to learn, look more into this, you have an extensive footnote here in the blue art scroll. I don't know about the red art scroll, but in the blue art scroll, he has extensive discussion. He says, you look up the Rambam and the Sefer Yad Malachi and the Karban Aharon and the Shema Gdoilim and all the rest that deal with these kind of historical issues. But getting back to our Gemara. So, Tani Rav Nachman, Bishar Sifrei Dvei Rav. Rav Nachman learned in the Sifrei that it says in Parashas, Kiseite B'chol HaShem Motzilai. What does that come to tell you? It's got to be Motzui. Prat L'shvach Shishbichu Yorshim L'achash Misa Tavir. It's when the Yorshim were Majbiach, the Yorshim invested, like the Banu Batim not to Kromim. Then that's not Motzui. Anything that happens on autopilot, you don't have to raise a finger, it happens automatically. Shokov. Now, who made that distinction? Mani Rabbi, that's Rabbi. That's how Rav Nachman learned the Sifrei. However, Tani Rabbi Bar Chama, Bishar Sifrei de Beirav, he learned from the same Sefer, but apparently he had a different Girsa or a different Mesorah. Remember, they didn't have printed Svarim at the time. So even though we talk about Shar Sifrei Dvei Rav, we mean really more Torah Shebal Peh than Torah Shebachsav. So what did Rami Bar Chama learn? He said, "B'chol Hashem Motziloi Prat L'Shvach Sheshavuch Nechosam La'Achar Mises Aviem VeKol Shkein Shvach Sheshbichu Yishom La'Achar Yorishim Yachem Yisavim Deloy Shokel. No, who holds that? Mari Rabbanani, the Rabbanani that do not distinguish between automatic Shvach and Shvach that the Yorishim have to put in new additional efforts. So, we have a Machloikis, what the Shar Sifrei Devei Rav Paskind. Right, Omer Vyuna Meshmuel. Again, we're going to have another Machloikis. Ein Bechor Netu Bishnai Bemilveh. Who? If the father left over a milveh that was owed to the father, what's the din? The Bechor does not take Pishnaim. He does not get a double portion. Now, what type of milveh are we talking about? Says Rishbam, afilu milveh bishtar. Makes no difference, milveh alpeh, milveh bishtar. The father left over that debtors owe money to father. He left over, Baruch Hashem, he was a wealthy individual, made many loans, so now borrowers owe money to him, says Rav Yehuda Meshmul. The Bechor does not get Pishnayim in any of the proceeds that come in on those loans. That's different than what we learned back on the Amud Aleph. Anyway, Rishbam already points out in the Amud Aleph that the Amud Aleph, when it says by Shtar Choyv, the Bechor is Noitul Pishnayim, that's at odds with what we're saying now, that in Milveh, even Bechoiv, the Bechor is not Noitul Pishnayim. But you'll see in a moment that there's going to be further machloikis about that. So Nochmo, Rav Yehuda Meshmul said, Omer Rav Yehuda Meshmul, Ein Bechor Noitul Pishnayim bin Milveh, if after the father's passing, monies come in on loans that he had lent, the Bechor does not get Pishnayim. So Timon of the Man, who's that going court to? Ilem the Rabbanon. Say that even Shvachad Ise Brishus say, such as the case that we had back on the Omid Aleph, we had Chafura Vahavi Shufli, that originally when the father passed away, the only thing that was growing on the field was hay, and only a month later did the hay develop into kernels of wheat, or there were only date blossoms, and only a month later they turned into dates. What did the Chum say? No, that's ro'i, that's not muchzik. Even though it was isa b'rishus, it was in his own rishus. Am Rabban le'shokel. Milva miboya, the milva, the money wasn't even in the rishus of the father. It only came in, the check only came in after the father passed away. It's a chavad and avada that Rabbanan would hold. In b'char noitel pishnayim. So that's devorim pshutim. Why does Rav Yehuda Meshmul even have to say it? Oh, El Le Rebbe, it's talking according to Rebbe, that even though Rebbe holds that normally you do get Shvacha, the awesome Menela, by Milveh he holds no, because Milveh holds that the money is not in the father's hands, even though it's a Shtar. Shtar is just Nyorah Ba'almahu. Even according to Rebbe, you don't get a double portion. Dosani, we have a price that says Yorshu, Shtar Choy Boichor Noitel Pishnayim Bein Be'Milveh Bein Be'Ribbis. This price is just the opposite. That a shtar choyv, the Bechor, not only gets the halva, he even gets the ribbis. Zokr Rishbam, we're talking about halva shul oivit kechovim of a goy. Because obviously, if you're talking of a yid, you're not allowed to collect ribbis. In fact, you recall there's a machloikis, according to one man, the Omar, not only can't you collect the ribbis, you can't even collect the keren, because konsu, the keren, otu the ribbis. But here we're talking about a goy, so there was both halva and ribbis. When that comes in, says the Braisa, Yorshu Shtar Choyv, the Bechor does get Pishnayim. Now, who is the Tana of that Braisa? Says, Mamani Le Rebbe Le Rabbanan. L'choyra, based on what you're telling me, since that Braisa says that you're Noitel Pishnayim, Bein B'Milv, Bein B'Ribbis, the only one that could hold that L'choyra would be Rebbe. So therefore, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel that says, Ein Bechor Noitel Pishnayim in Milva, can't be a Rebbe. And we just said it can't be a Rabbanon, because according to Rabbanon, it's a Dava Parshat. Madach the Shluvavi, the Chafura, Venase Shuvli, we said it's Muxik. Say the Rabbanon, no, you don't get Pishnayim. The Chavada, the Shtar, you don't get Pishnayim. Everything with the oil and the Rabbanon. No, it's going to Rabbanon. So what's the Chiddush? It's Chachsokadaitachem in a Milva, Kim in the Nakishtar, Kiman. The Gavya Damya, since he's holding on to the piece of paper, in the case of the chafura, in other words, the property that was only producing hay, and a month later it produced the wheat or the barley, the wheat and the barley were not present yet. That's really ro'oi. In the case of the Shtar Choyv, he's holding on to the piece of paper. I might have thought, Kiman de Govi Dami, that this piece of paper that is confirmed and is verified and notarized, and it even has a shibud on the chosim et alin with a mortgage. It's maybe kigovi dummy, kamash malon. No, achray is toy soifer. Barry is pointing out, even though we can't hear him, but I'm sure that's what he's saying. Anyway, kamash malon. That's the chiddush of the reviewed on Mishmul, that even in that case, say the rabbanon ain bechor noitul pishnai. But it's the rabban. But now sholchem mitam, they send from Eretz Yisrael, just the opposite of Rabbi Yehuda or Mishmur. And they said, Bechor noitel bishnai b'milva. Avalei b'ribis, but not by the ribis. Only by the milva, not the ribis. So to my lemar, ilayim the Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, hash to shvocha de'isim rishusi, am Rabbanan de loy shakil. Madlich in the case again of that property that was chafura, that was only producing hay. And later on it got wheat. Say the Rabbanan, no, loy shakil, you don't get that additional wheat. Milva miboya. Milva is doch only a piece of niyar. It's only a piece of paper. It's for shteitzach. You're not going to go and get a double portion. How could it say sholchem mitam that the bechor is not to bishnai? El maisel chayyeh goes according to Rebbe. And Rebbe distinguishes between, what does it say? Sholchem mitam bechor not to bishnai b'milva avalei b'ribis. She's saying if it goes according to Rebbe, he's distinguishing between the halva and ribis. El Rebbe Ribis Loi Vatani Rebbe Oy Mibchor Noitel Bishnayim Bein Bemilva Bein Beribis Oy Vavoy. So then, who is the Sholchu Mitam? It's neither Rabbanan nor Rebbe. Everyone Loi Rabbanan. It goes according to Rabbanan. O Milva Kemand the Gav Yedamia. When it comes to Milva, since you're holding on to the piece of paper, you're Muchzak. Not like we said Niyar Ba'Almahu. No, you're Mamish Muchzak. So why aren't you Muchzak in the Ribis? Says Rishbam, because at least the Gabi the Shtar Choyv, the $100 of the loan, was originally in the father's hand. It's true that Milvalait saw Nitna, once he gave it to the Loive, he spent it, and it doesn't exist. He's going to bring brand new funds. But at least when he brings those brand new funds, it makes sense to say that since he wrote out a Shtar, and the Shtar had a Chrayis Nechosim, and the Malve, who passed away, owned that shtar. So the Yerushim holding on to a piece, a rock of Gibraltar. Not a rock of Gibraltar, at least a piece of paper, they're muchzik. But the ribis, the father never received the ribis. Ribis, by definition, is something that's only going to accrue over time. The father already passed away. His time is up. Any future monies that come in later are real ro'oi, not muchzik. Even though you and I could think to ourselves, yeah, but it comes in Shvacha de Osim and Meila. This Sholchem Mitam says, no, Ribis is different. The father who passed away never had a Shaychus, it never came into his hands. He was hoping and praying that it's going to come into his hands because of the Shtar. But that's not considered to be Muchzik, that's considered to be Ro'oi. So you see, we have a Machloikis in our Gemara. Both of Yehuda and Mishmuel, the Gemara concluded, that's Alibe Drabbanan, and the Sholchem Mitam is Alibe Drabbanan. However, it's a machloikis, what do the Rabbanan hold? According to Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Ein Bechor Noitel Bishnai B'milva, while in the Sholchem Mitam, Bechor Noitel Bishnai B'milva. And the Gemara kept on asking, it's according to Rebbe, according to Rabbanan, Rabbanan to Rebbe. The Gemara concludes, both of them, it goes according to Rabbanan, and that Rav Yehuda Mishmuel is saying Alibe Drabbanan, what's the reason why? Because he's only holding a niyar ba'alma, just a piece of paper. Therefore, it's not muchzik. Sholchem Mitam says, oh, this is a very valuable piece of paper. This valuable piece of paper is like a rock of Gibraltar. It has a chrayis nechosim, it's shibudim, all that. Therefore, you consider it to be muchzik, and the bechor is noitel pishnai.
According to Rabbi Shmuel,
yes.
I'm not sure why don't we say it goes like Rebbe?
Why does it say it goes like Rebbe?
We said it goes like the Rabbanan, but it seems to. I'm not clear why it wouldn't go like more Sabbath, but like Rebbe.
One second. Do you still see me, gentlemen? Because I've lost sight of all of you.
Hello?
Yeah. I'm trying to get you. Oh, very good. Do you see me?
Yes.
Okay, and I hear you, and I hope you hear me as well. So let's...
My question was, I'm a Rabbi Huda, I'm a Shmuel.
Yes.
We said it goes according to...
Rabbanan, not according to Rabbi.
Right.
And right.
I'm not clear why we didn't... More, it seems more simply to say it goes according to Rabbi.
Okay, so let's think about this. Rabbi Huda Mishmuel says, Ein b'char noitel pishnayim b'milva. Remember, what does Rebbe hold? Rebbe is the one that is more generous to the Bechar. Sorry?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe I misunderstood.
Rebbe, remember, is...
Right, but then we said...
According to Sholchum Itam, Bechar Noitel Pishnayim.
Okay, all right, I was confused. I got it now, thank you.
No problem. But now the obvious question, you're right. The Sholchum Itam L'choir is Rebbe. Because Rebbe holds B'char Noitel Bishnaim and something
right,
that comes in
correct.
Automatically.
Right.
That's probably what's bothering you. Says Imori can't go according to Rebbe because the Sholchem Itam distinguish between Milva and Ribbis. And then if you go four lines later, V'tani Rebbe Oyner B'char Noitel Bishnaim Bein B'milva Bein B'Ribbis. So it can't be Rebbe because Rebbe says even Ribbis. So we have to say it goes according to the Rabbanan. So why did the Rabbanan distinguish between the Milva and the Ribbis? Because as far as the Milva is concerned, since you're holding the piece of paper, milva kiman de gavya damya. It's like, it's already govoy. All you have to do is you present it to the court. The court sees that there's a handpick. They say, hey, Shimon, how come you didn't pay? Mister, you better pay within 30 days, otherwise you'll put you in chayrim or whatever it is. But the gavya ribis, it never came into father's rishus until now. That's why it's considered to be ro'oy and not muhsik. Just finish off the last tikkulimit of Acha bar Rav Ravina. Ikla Amemer li Asrein. Amemer came to our shtot, to our city, to visit. The Dorish, and he darshened in his Shabbos HaGodol drasha, or whatever drasha he gave. The Dorish, b'char noitel pishnayim b'milv, avalei b'ribis. In other words, just like the Sholchum Itam. Amaleis, he said to him, that Neherdoi l'tamayu, the people from Neherdoi, hold l'shitosam. Who are the Nerdoyans? Amemar is from Nerdo. We had this earlier on in our Masechta. As well as Rav Nachman was from Nerdo. The Omer Rabba, you'll notice that the Bach changes the Girsa. He doesn't change the Girsa fundamentally. He just switches around Rabba and Rav Nachman. The reason why Rabba is on this line, Rav Nachman is on the next line. The reason why he switches it around, because he wants to emphasize that the Nerdo L'tamayu, that the Nerdoyans all held the same way. Barry will always tell us the famous figure from Nerdo is Shmuel, where Shmuel would say that Nehirun li Shvili derekia. Exactly. And you'll always add that the reason is because Shmuel was a doctor, and that's why.
He was an astronomer, a doctor, and he was a Kohen.
Okay, and he also made house calls. He didn't just say, dial 911 or dial Hatzalah. He made house calls, so therefore he knew the Shvili Nerdo, and he knew the Shvili Terekia. But here we're not talking about Shmuel, rather we're talking about Amemer and Rav Nachman, and we're saying that Amemer and Rav Nachman both hold, we'll just skip to Rav Nachman for a moment, to Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Govu Mo'ois Yeshloi, Govu Karka Einloi. Well, Rabba holds Govu Karka Yeshloi, Govu Mo'ois Einloi. What does that mean? The Gemara for the first time now tells us that when the Yorishim are being goyve, they are collecting on the shtar choiv. What did they collect? Did they collect cash? Or did they collect real estate? There's a svara to go and say that cash is more muhsik, and there's a svara to say that real estate is more muhsik. What's the svara that cash is more muhsik? Because the nifter lent cash, and he's getting back cash. Admittedly, it's not the same cash. But, because money is fungible. But he gave cash, he gets cash, therefore it's considered to be muhsik. He didn't give karka. This is brand new karka that he wasn't entitled to. This was not that he wasn't entitled to, I mean, there was a mortgage on, there was a lien on it, but he never owned that karka. This is only karka that the loive put into the shtar, or was automatic a chayis nechosim. That's why it's not muhsik, it's roi. That's one svar. The other svar is just the opposite. That karka is considered to be more muhsik. Because that's in the shtar. It's either explicit in the shtar or implicit in the shtar. Achrayis nechosin, right? Achrayis tois nechosin. Chreis is Toy Seifer. Thank you. Chreis Nechosim is Toy Seifer. Thank you for the correction, Barry. Anyway, so therefore, it's as if the Malva owned the property. He didn't own the equity, but he owned the debt interest in the property. So that was Muchzik. By getting cash, he never owned this cash. This is brand new cash. That's the machloikis here between Rab and Rav Nachman. But the bottom line is, each one holds like a meimer, the b'chor noitul bishnaim, the milva in the halvon, not in the ribis, because the ribis never came to father. Father never had any rights to it, and it was, that's totally strange, totally foreign. What does the b'chor noitul bishnaim? So nerdoi, that's a meimer, holds like Rav Nachman, or Rav Nachman like a meimer. That's if you're talking about Govu Mois, if he got money. But not if he Govu Karka, because money was Muxik. He gave money, he got back money. Well, Rabbi said, no, I hold, just the, I can also hold like a Meimer, says Rishban. It's not only Rav Nachman, I can also hold. A Meimer says, B'chor Noitul Bishnai Ben Milva, when he was Govu Karka, because he was a Muxik on the Karka, because he had that debt right, that debt ownership. But not cash, because cash is fungible. This is brand new cash. Amir Hashem, we will continue this discussion tomorrow. Thank you all for listening very carefully. Have a wonderful day. What are we going to learn tomorrow?